places of power. The earth is a place of power. It's alive. Most people think of the earth as an inanimate object. It's alive. Some people think of it as growing and changing. Volcanoes spew forth lava. New islands and continents are created. Old ones fall or drift. Civilizations come and go. But the earth is alive, meaning it has awareness. Different types of awareness in different places. Just as you have different awarenesses in different parts of your body. But your body is not a total reflection of your awareness, is it? So the earth, what we call the earth is the body, but what is its awareness? Invisible like your awareness, yet you're aware of it, you perceive through it just as the earth does. The awareness of the earth changes from place to place. Some places on the earth are places of power for human beings. Some places are the opposite. They're places of negative energy, reverse charge, where you lose energy, you lose power, you lose consciousness. It's better to die in some places than other places. It's easier to move from one world to another. It's better to live in some places. It's better to be born in some places. It makes a difference. Places of power. What makes a place of power a place of power? No one really knows. It just is. Yet places of power attract powerful beings who live there, visit there, meditate there, gaze, jump into other worlds from that spot. And that increases the velocity of the place of power. Places of power, like people, can be drained. Some people go to a place of power or live near it to access its energy. But they pollute it. There can be a beautiful lake, clear, crystal, pristine. People go and they live by the lake, they build houses on the lake, and they throw their garbage in the lake, and they pollute it with their sewage, with their thoughts. And soon the lake is no longer a pure crystal lake. It's something else, isn't it? It's a reflection of the attention field of the beings who live there. Well, people do that. It's to places of power. You will notice that wealthy people live in places of power. Parts of New York City, parts of Beverly Hills, and every other city has its wealthy area. Did you know that that's a place of power? And the reason those people live there is because they draw more energy from there to stay rich and famous. That's why it's so expensive to live there. Some universities have more power than others. And of course, some people. The earth is alive. If you could see the earth through the eye of seeing, then you would see that the earth actually changes colors. It's kind of like color graphics on some of those computer games. When the hero is out walking around from place to place on different landscapes and they change colors, it's very much like that. Kind of like infrared photography that shows up heat vis-a-vis color. Well, if you could see, then you would know that there's power everywhere and different types of power in different locations. The earth is alive. It has an awareness. And when you move from one place to another, you cross different power lines. The earth is made up of a series of lines that interconnect different dimensional planes. The Earth is like a gateway between dimensions. And everyone follows those lines, whether they're conscious of it or not, from the time they're born to the time they die. When you can see the lines of power that someone is following, you can predict everything that will happen to them in a general sense. Most people never change the lines they follow. It is possible, of course. That's what mysticism and self-discovery are about. They're about developing your mind and making it powerful enough, having an enlightened mind, an awakened mind, with which you can consciously choose or let power choose, life choose, which lines you'll follow. You can switch, but you have to see them first naturally and know what your options are. And of course, you need to have enough power to make that switch. The place you live in naturally is the most important. It's where you spend most of your time, and it's where you sleep. And when you sleep, you're very open to lots of different psychic forces. And it's a time when we recharge ourselves, we renew ourselves. So if you live in a place that isn't a good place of power for you, then you won't be renewed when you sleep. And your life will be very difficult. So the first step for someone who practices the advanced arts of self-discovery and psychic development, for the person who wishes to develop an awakened mind, a mind that's clear and free and sees, is to pick a place to live that has the right power for them, not based upon necessarily how much it costs, but how it feels, not based upon the aesthetics of the house or the apartment or the condominium, but how it feels. Because you will draw most of your energy from the place you live, or the places you live, not simply when you're there, but when you're off at work or on an adventure. You create lines of power to that location, and you draw the energy from that location. You store power and compress it there also. You can draw energy lines from other places too, and from other worlds, not just from this earth. But the primary location is the home, wherever you happen to be sleeping. That's our definition of home at the moment, wherever you're dreaming. So then you have to pick a spot. How do you do it? Well, you start with a city. Different cities, or the country that surrounds them, have different power accesses. One isn't right or better. You have to find the one that feels most comfortable to you. How do you know which? We'll make a list of, say, the 12 or 18 cities in the United States that most appeal to you. Now simply meditate for a while, still your thoughts, put your finger on each one, on your list, write them down, Natch. Close your eyes and feel each one. And you'll probably be able to real quickly go down to about four which feel the best. Naturally, if you're new to this, you should think about it and decide intellectually also if these are wise choices. I mean, you could just make a mistake here. But if you're truly psychic, this will be easy. If not, then of course think about it all. Before acting on any intuitive decisions, always think about it and say, is this wise? Use common sense always as the common denominator for filtration of intuition. It should make sense to your mind too. Good intuitions are very sensible things. They're not far out or weird or nebulous. They're based upon common sense. It's just a faster process for understanding and making intelligent decisions, intuition. It's that creative spark inside all of us that gives us the right answer at the right time, mysteriously. Sometimes we get it when we wake up. We found it in dreaming, sometimes during the day. We walk around in different states of mind. That's all there is, our states of mind. We see our mind wherever we go. So then, narrow it down to four, then write the four or whatever number on another piece of paper, bigger letters maybe, and do the same thing again till you find one. Or visit the four, or get a poster of each one and look at it, or whatever you want. Figure out which one is right. Then visit it and enjoy it. You'll know when you get there. Actually, when you get off the plane, when you land. You don't even have to see the city. As soon as you get off the plane, then you'll know. As soon as your feet touch the ground in that place of power, that city of power, or that countryside, you'll know, your body will say, ooh, this feels good, I want to stay here, or you'll just figure, gosh, I could just get back on the plane and go. You'll know that it's not the one for you. Now, there's another interesting method, one of these strange Rama methods that I've evolved to deduce the changing level of attention in different cities. It's very hard when you're in a city to tell how it affects you, because after you've been in a place for a couple of days, you become a part of it in a way. And it's very hard to get a clear delineation, you know, to really see clearly, to determine whether or not that particular place is influencing you. Places have influence just like people. So how do you know? Well, let's say you're trying to decide between three or four cities, but you realize that after you've been in a city about an hour or a day, it can almost hold you. It has a power of its own and influence you. Well, what I found is, if you're really serious about this and you have a little money or credit card and you can afford it, get on a plane and go to your two possible choices or three and see a movie. Go to the city, spend the night in a hotel, or visit a friend, whatever, camp, and see a movie. Then see the same movie in each city. Can't be a different movie, it has to be the same movie. When you're in the movie, allowing for differences of the people who are sitting in your particular theater, the vibration of the theater itself, and the quality of the projection, notice how different the film seems, how it affects you differently. It's the same film. And that's a way of determining, it's a reference point for determining the different attention level of different cities. In any case, pick a city, suburb, countryside, whatever feels good to you. Then break it down into neighborhoods. Which neighborhoods feel the best? Naturally, it has to be something you can afford. And then start stalking. Start looking around, visiting real estate agents. When you pick a place to live, it's very important, before you sign the lease, to see it not just one time. Put a refundable deposit down if you want to or whatever. But after you've looked at it once, look at it again. Because the real estate agent, the landlord, the place itself can influence you, can almost manipulate you into taking a place that maybe you don't want. Now, don't get paranoid at this point and think that all places are trying to get you. But places and people have power, and if they want to rent it and you're there, it's called good old American salesmanship. So it's good to go back another time, maybe the next day, and even best to go back at a different time of day, because of course places feel different at different times of day. When you select a place to live, you're not only selecting the location, but of course you're buying into the people around you, the person who owns the place, if you're renting. Their energy lines are there, obviously. You'll be feeling them. So you should like your landlord. If you don't like your landlord, don't rent, because you're going to be feeling their attention all the time. Good idea not to live next door to the landlord, unless you really like the landlord, because they're going to be thinking about you and focusing on you a lot. Pick carefully. But don't be afraid to pick one. Take the best of what's around. You can always change. But we have to be practical. Pick a spot, and it's good to look at it at night too if you want to. You know, just drive by it and park in front of the place before you sign that lease for a minute or two and look at it and see how it feels at night. You know, it can be real different. It can be better. It can be worse. Who knows? Have to look and see. Same is true when you look for a job. Get the job that sounds the best, but it shouldn't be in a place that drains you. If there are two or three job possibilities, if one pays a little less, but the place feels 10 times better, go for it. Because ultimately, if you're drained, you won't be able to move on to a better job or a better position. Whereas if you feel good about where you work and whom you work for, that means your body's telling you it feels good, again, of what's available. How great can it be? They're paying you, right? But still, pick the one that feels good. When you drive to work, follow a power line. Drive along the road that feels right. There might be one route that takes 10 minutes longer, but the power line is better for you along there. They're lines that run along the earth, invisible lines. They're invisible till you can see them. Drive along those. In terms of movie theaters, places you shop, supermarkets, everything is on a different place of power. Don't let convenience run your life. You run your life. Shop at places that you feel good. When you come home from shopping, look in the mirror. See if you look drained. Examine your attention field. Naturally, it's always draining to a certain extent to interact with a lot of people and places. But some places will pull you down more than others, just like people. Some will renew you. Some were fun to shop in. Some are exciting. Also, don't wear a place out. It's very important to keep moving. Not only because people find you and focus on you when you stay in a physical place too long, but simply because you become too accessible to a place or too accessible to people. Don't go to the same restaurants all the time, the same movies. You won't pick up any new power lines. In other words, if you want to change and store power, great. You live in a nice place. You found nice shops, nice restaurants. You go to, you know, good places for vacations, good power spots. But after a while, you're just going to keep drawing the same power into yourself. And if you don't switch to new places, you won't be drawing new energies into your body. So all you'll do next year is repeat what you did this year pretty much. Follow me? Find good things, but then don't wear them out. Touch life lightly. Look for new places of power, new friends, new shops, new experiences. And naturally, of course, power changes. The earth shifts. Power lines sometimes become weaker, some are stronger. So sometimes the place will feel good for a while, because it is. And then the power shifts. And if you stay there, then that place can feel bad and drain you that once empowered you. Same with people, right? People change. You can change a power that used to work for you when you were in college, doesn't work now. If you live back at the college that empowered you and made you feel great, or you tried to lead the type of life that you did then, it won't work for you now. So the places you spend most of your time are what we're really concerned with, since every place is a power spot of one type or another. Power spot isn't just some place you hike out to in the desert or mountains. I mean, how often are you going to be there? The really important ones are the places you spend your time. Houses, cities, shops, freeways, department stores, apartment complexes, people you visit. Always trust how you feel. And if you're not sure, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror before you go someplace and see how your attention looks, and then look again when you come back. Sort of gaze. Don't focus on any part of your face, but look at your whole self. It just takes a few seconds. You don't have to spend minutes. And you'll kind of get a sense of, gee, is there more light, more energy? Do I look good? Do I look younger, or do I look older? That sort of thing. Places of power. Today is the 29th of December. It's around 5 o'clock in the afternoon now. The sun is setting here in scenic New England, a place of power, Boston. Tremendous, tremendous mental clarity here. Wonderful place to live and work. Now, here's an example. Lines of power change. Massachusetts, where I'm making this tape right now, had one of the highest unemployment rates in the nation just a few years ago. Today it has the lowest of any state. What happened? How come suddenly they went from one of the highest to the lowest? Obviously, the power shifted here, which is why I happen to be here speaking to you today. Because the power here is very strong and very good. So I thought, what a fun place to come and visit for a while. Because the power here is very strong, something very good is happening. Particularly, obviously, in the computer industry. But what a fun place. It could change again. Employment is not necessarily an indicator, but it could be. Anything could be. But you should see some kind of reflection in the economy, in the way the people are. Everything's a state of mind, but our states of mind are radically affected by where we live and with whom we associate with and whom we think about. Even if we haven't seen someone in years and we think about them, we touch them psychically and that affects us. So the person who seeks to find their totality, to become free, has to be extremely concerned with where they live, where they spend their time, who and what they think about. Because at every moment you're gaining or losing energy, your attention field is rising or falling. And the strongest effect for most people on their attention field is produced by the earth and the people they know. One day when you move further into other planes of attention, you won't draw quite as much from the earth, but you'll also draw from other realities. And you'll be affected more by non-physical beings than physical beings. Of course, there are other places of power. Places of power that we go and visit. Places of power where we go to be enlightened, renewed, healed, where we gain energy. These are usually places, of course, that are not exhausted. The places where human beings live are relatively exhausted because they're drawing the energy there all the time to make their careers successful, to make their lives successful, to make their sexual experiences more exciting, whatever it is. Everybody wants energy. They all want to feel like they did when they were 16 or 17 or 18 or 19. Everybody's seeking energy, seeking power. They want a certain feeling. They want to feel great. They want to feel wonderful. They want to feel in control, whatever it is. So people don't touch the earth lightly. They live in a place. They draw all its power. They don't leave any over. And then, of course, a place that felt wonderful a few years ago is today's trash lake. And we see that in some of the most wonderful cities in America and the world. They were great places of power and they've been drained. Oh, if humanity went away, they would renew themselves in time, just as the forest will grow back over the concrete in time. But with humanity spreading and covering every inch of the globe, soon the earth's power field will drain lower and lower, and of course then there are certain consequences that have to come from that. But in the meantime, there are still a few good power places left around. Naturally, they tend to be in more inaccessible places. So it involves more driving, more travel. That's why the guru always lived on top of the mountain, or the saint went out to the desert. Because there were places of uninterrupted power, where there were fewer thought forms, of course, from people, less people, easier to meditate. But also, the power lines there have not been interfered with. Everybody's not tapping into them and putting a lot of diffuse desire, plain energy into them. Desire is the primary pollutant of power places. People go there to have their desires fulfilled. But if you're seeking the other worlds and the mysteries of power, you don't really want to be near all that energy. It confuses you. So there are lots of good power places looking for you. But there are also negative places of power that can drain you. Let's stay with the positive places first. There are places of rest and renewal, places of more direct healing, places of enlightenment, places of vision, where you can see particularly well, places of course, power, where you store power. There are different types of places out there in the wilderness, in the deserts, in the mountains, by the seashore, wherever there aren't too many people. How can you tell one from the other? Only by experience. You just need to go there and walk around and be sensitive, meditate as you walk. Your body will direct you. Just find an area that you feel good about and go for a drive. When you feel like stopping the car, stop. When you feel like getting out and walking, walk. Naturally, in the wilderness, one must always be prepared and bring whatever you need for survival in the wilderness. Be cautious always, particularly if you're not used to being out there and hiking around. It's good for most people to visit places of power during the day and avoid them at night. At night, everything is intensified in the occult worlds. The power is different. The power lines run differently. Plus, just walking around in the dark, you might hurt yourself. You don't really have to go to most places of power for very long. As a matter of fact, if you spend too much time with them, you can overcharge yourself and kind of burn yourself out. But once a week, maybe on a weekend, take a drive, or every couple weeks. And the whole journey is part of the experience. Your preparation for it, packing for it, getting everything ready, getting your car set, it's very important to do each thing impeccably and perfectly, because if you don't, you won't set up your lines right. When you get to the place of power, you won't be focused. It's important before visiting a place of power to tidy up your life. All the details of your life should be set so that if you never came back, that would be fine. If you just stepped into another world out there, you would have left your affairs in good order. Your will's made. Your checkbook is up to date. The house is clean. Any important calls that you needed to make were made. Anything you had to resolve with anyone was resolved as best you could in the time frame that you had before you went. So that when you go free. You can forget about your home, your life, and just go there and look at other worlds, other visions. You seeking a vision of reality, of yourself, of your mind. You want to know which way to go. You need information. You need renewal. Many different things. But your spirit has to be trimmed in a certain way so that when you go to these places, it works. Otherwise, you can just go and walk around and gain nothing. And of course, if you're not careful, it can work in reverse, because remember, whenever you deal with power, there is danger. There's enlightenment, but there's danger too. That's the nature of power. Power is powerful. You have to handle it quite carefully, with respect and with knowledge. So always prepare for your journey properly. Spend a day or two thinking about it, unless you just spontaneously wake up some morning, of course, and are just drawn, then just do it. Don't worry about everything else. But if you live your life as an ordered life, it's always in a state of preparation, so at any moment you can just go. And your life shouldn't really be that messy that you have to straighten it up. It should just be tight all the time. But we can even make it tighter, and then we go and forget it all. You need complete control in order to have complete abandon. In order to let go completely of the power place, you need to have your life in complete control. So then you hop in the car. You might bring a friend, you might not, and head out on the road. Drive to the power spot, go out there, hike around, find it. Now, of course, as I said, they're negative power places, places that can drain your energy and attention. How can you tell? Well, they're different colors if you can see them. If you can see in the subtle physical. Try to avoid the places that are red. They have a reddish, orangish hue in the subtle physical. There's a good power there, but just not for people. The places that are kind of a yellow gold or a white or green, blue, those are better vibratory forms for humans. There are no bad places of power per se, but there's some that just don't work with the human life form, with its vibratory energy. If you go to them, you can be drained, lose your energy. There are also beings, naturally, that are hanging out at the local power spot, non-physical beings, and they can act on you and drain you, or they can empower you. So it's important to go to the right neighborhood. Go to the right neighborhood, you meet a nice person, have a great time. Go to the wrong one, you might get mugged. It's no different out there in the wilderness. And just let your feelings guide you. You don't have to be able to see the colors. Just if you don't feel good in a certain area, keep walking. If you do feel good, sit down and enjoy it. Places of vision, of course, are usually on top of hills or overlooking mesas or a high mountain. They're places where you can see with extreme clarity. Now, they don't have to be physically high. Usually they are. Sometimes it's by a river, by a stream, by water. Water is a reflector of cosmic energy. Then there are places of renewal when you're tired. You just need renewal. And if you lie down in such a spot for an hour or so, or sit there and meditate, you'll be renewed. There are places of power where you really store a tremendous amount of power. You shouldn't stand those too long. Hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. It's more than sufficient. And what do you do when you're there? You walk around in the wilderness, you find a spot you like, you sit down on your little mat or whatever you bring with you. Well, naturally, what's important is what you think about. If you think about negative thoughts out there, fears, they'll all be amplified by the place of power. If you think about positive things, that'll be amplified. If you don't think at all, that's the best. So it's important to meditate there, You might bring your journal along and write a few thoughts down, write a poem. You might, of course, camp there and practice dreaming there, but be careful. You have to feel very good about the place because it changes at night. And when you're out there alone, unless you really know what you're doing, you can be a target to all kinds of forces. The places of power, particularly in the desert and high mountain areas, are very strong. If you just go in your local forest, I wouldn't worry about it, camp and have a great time. But in the very remote spots in the desert and high mountains and rocky areas, you must be concerned. I think it's a good idea to not do it by yourself, but to bring a buddy, someone to give you a reality check. And then you can practice dreaming, but you can practice that at home too. Be cautious always when dealing with places of power. They're good, but they're best taken in small amounts. It's like eating a wonderful dessert. It's good not to eat every bit sometimes, but stop when you could have one more bite and walk away. That control is very necessary when dealing with power. Otherwise, you can just amp out and gain too much power and start to think strange thoughts and have strange ideas. Monitor your thoughts when you're in a place of power, and if suddenly you start to get depressed or paranoid or become obsessed with fears, it's time to get up and move. That's how you tell if you found a good spot or a spot that will drain you. Watch your thoughts, monitor them. Don't be concerned about one little strange thought, but if you see a pattern, it's time to move. You're being influenced in a negative way. Try and avoid thinking about people you know when you're out there or on the trip there. You don't want anybody else's attention in your attention. You're going there just for the energy, just for the experience. If your attention is tight, you'll see other worlds there. You'll pass through magical doorways into other dimensions. You can step from one world to another if you have enough personal power, enough control of your attention, if you have an awakened mind. Places of power. It's very important to travel. The earth, as I said, has different levels of attention, and a place can hold you and act upon you. If you find that you're just not traveling a lot, it may not be because you wouldn't enjoy it. It might be because the power of a place is holding you, or the thoughts of the people around you are holding you. That's why they invented the weekend. The weekend is a good time, from a strategic point of view, to go on a journey. Pack your bags. It's not necessarily expensive. Stay in your local Best Western motel or whatever your favorite is. Doesn't have to be fancy. Go camping and get away. Also, people tend to get particularly weird, human being types, on weekends. Normally, they're very focused during the week. They're going to work. They're running their businesses. But then when they come to a weekend, they tend to get depressed because they don't have anything to do. They try and find joy in their pastimes, but they expect too much. They expect Friday or Saturday night to be the most wonderful thing, or the weekend to be this or that. So it's a good idea, if you study mysticism, to be particularly focused on the weekend, because the same applies to you. If you're working Monday through Friday, then on the weekend, suddenly you don't know what to do. That's when people get into trouble. You need a focus. You need a biscuit, right? So at that point, it's good to go to a place of power. Even if it's just for a couple hours, even if it's just local, even if it's just a little place of renewal that's around the corner, a local park. But try and get about 20 miles away from the area you're normally in. Power lines rarely extend more than about 20 miles. Even if it's to go shopping, even if it's to go to a movie, travel, it's good for you. Go away for a weekend. Visit somebody. Drive. Drive. That's why they invented the wonderful automobile. Get out there and drive. Go someplace you've never been or a great place you've been. Get on a plane and travel. Doesn't have to be expensive. It'll shift you. It's easier for you to shift your attention. You can also assess how much people are affecting you. Your environment is affecting you when you're outside of it. When you're in it, it's very difficult to tell. And also, you'll find some new places. Then, power places. Then during the week when you're at work or at home, think about the power places you've been to. Keep a little journal, write down your experiences there, and you'll draw power from those places when you're not there. So when you're at work and you're working at your computer terminal or whatever it is you may do, you can occasionally take a power place break instead of a coffee break. Sit down, visualize a spot. Hey, take photographs of the place. What a nifty idea. And keep a couple around the office. Have them blown up, bring them down to the local photo mat or whatever. Have them make an 8x10, frame it. don't have to tell everybody in your office it's a power spa. They'll just think it's a nice place you like. And access its energy. Think about it. Feel what it was like when you were there. Travel there psychically. Places of power, power you can draw on at any time. Sort of like ever-ready batteries, you know, power to spare. Don't tell people about power places, as a rule. You might want to bring a friend or two, but if you tell too many people, suddenly it'll be the next polluted lake. If somebody's supposed to find a power place, they'll find one themselves. They'll be drawn. And your power place might not work for them. It's good to be discreet about these things and inaccessible. Also, it's good if people don't know the power places you go to, because then they can focus on you when you're there and draw power through you or try and control you. It's good if people don't know where you live and where you are all the time. Otherwise, you become too accessible to them. They focus on you and they exert a level of mental control over you. Inaccessibility doesn't mean you're scared or running away. It just means that you don't want everybody to know every detail of your life. And so it's good to be inaccessible about the special power places that work for you. Keep them to yourself or just share them with one or two very close friends. But don't share all of them with anybody. Always keep a part of yourself just for you. It's not selfish, it's quite sensible in my opinion. Places of power. There are quite a few beings, of course, who stay at places of power. Very strong places of power are interdimensional vortexes. You can pass from one world to another at these places. When you know how. In ages past on the Earth, it was actually possible to even physically step from one world to another at a place of power. But the density of the universe has somewhat changed, and now it's more difficult, if not impossible. Well, I wouldn't say impossible, it's more difficult to do that. But it's not necessary. Your attention can go from one world to another. When you go to a power place, sit down, meditate, and just feel the other worlds and let your spirit wander. Or when you wander in the desert, you know, you may actually even physically see the other worlds if your seeing is developed. And the beings that are there. I wouldn't try and seek out the beings necessarily unless you feel pretty strong. Just let them come and go on their own. If you feel very strong, of course, you can seek one out. A magical being or being of power that can aid you and empower you. But you have to feel really strong. Your life has to be very tight for such an encounter. Otherwise, it can be a little bit tricky, dangerous. Most beings don't have interest in human beings, non-physical beings. They could care less. They have their own worlds and their own pastimes, but there are some that act upon people that either empower or drain, but most are neutral. And they have to be sought out. They have to be found. Usually you have to look for them. They don't really look for you. Some people are all kinds of, they're very concerned about non-physical beings, draining them, taking their energy. I really think that that's unnecessary paranoia. The only things you have to be concerned about are either your own thoughts or human beings. The non-physical beings really don't care what happens to people. You have to actually seek them out and find them, convince them to aid you. But there are some that can act on you in a negative way in the wilderness. So it's good to be cautious, as I said. Always just trust your feelings and never be afraid of anything. Something can only gain power over you if you're afraid or unaware. Always feel that you can do everything necessary in your whole life yourself under your own power, or your power will bring any assistance you need. If you need to develop power, just meditate, practice stopping your thoughts. You gain power from gazing, focusing on yantras, pulling in energy from the other worlds. That's where power is gained, from visiting power spots, leading a tight life, avoiding situations and energies and people that drain you. Having fun, being happy, generates wonderful energy. Being strong, putting energy back into the system for others. Higher occult principles. So power is important. Without it, we don't live. Our attention field falls apart. Places are alive. And they affect you much more than you realize. Take the time and put out the effort to visit places of power on a regular basis And of course, to select a place to live, to work, to travel through, stores to shop in, just the little everyday things in human existence. Select places that have a good energy, a good power, one that works for you. If it changes, change. And visit places of power in your mind. Psychically travel there. And you'll have a magical life. Also, on an editorial note, try to put energy back into places, not just take it out. Whenever you leave a power place, thank it. Feel good about it. Don't just walk away. Thank it. It helps recharge it and renew it so that when the next person comes there, that good feeling will be there. Don't dwell on negative thoughts in a power place. You'll just leave those impressions there. If you can't think positive thoughts or no thoughts, leave the spot. Don't leave your litter about a power place, inwardly or outwardly. Leave it stronger by going and having powerful and exciting experiences there. When you go to a power place, of course, you can sort things out at certain places. Make important decisions in your life, things like that. But once you've made the decisions, feel good about them and always thank the place. Thank the spirits and forces that live there, that drew you there, that draw you through life and one day will draw you to your death and beyond your death, to your next life. That thanking, that putting energy back in the network and that touching life gently will cultivate a higher awareness in you and you'll see much more with that awareness than most people do. Places of power, enjoy them. And keep them to yourself. So this is Rama. Somewhere in Massachusetts. Enjoying this great place of power, Massachusetts, with this clear energy and cold weather. It's wonderful. One of many fine places on the planet to visit. Always consider yourself a tourist of the planet Earth. Just here for a while. Read the brochure, incarnated here, just checking it out. Want to see the best spots while you're here. Avoid the worst. And then off you go. We're tourists of the universe. We're wandering through different states of mind wherever we go. We are awareness. See you later.